This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It is Monday afternoon. Great to have you with us as another trading week is underway. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We're expecting a high temperature of 58 this afternoon and 44 overnight tonight. The five-day forecast is coming up.
Let's kick things off with an update of the markets. The Noon Business Hour presented by Old Second Bank. It has been quite a ride today. All the major indexes down significantly. Bringing us up to date now at Bloomberg is Jeff Bellinger.
And Cisco, we don't have to speculate about why things have turned so ugly. Washington and Beijing are battling over trade, and investors are worried. Dow Jones Industrials down 702 points, 25,240. NASDAQ is down 278. S&P 500 is down 78 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is down 3%. Bloomberg Intelligence says Motorola Solutions and Cisco Systems are defensive networking companies that may be able to weather a prolonged trade dispute between the U.S. and China. The analysts say both firms have limited China trade exposure and favorable end market demand here in the U.S. We'll see if that turns out to be the case. Traders say the odds that the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates early next year are increasing after China announced retaliatory tariffs against the U.S. And Discovery bought Golf Digest magazine from Condé Nast Publishing for $35 million. Discovery is looking to acquire more content for a new streaming video service that will target golf fans. Crude oil futures down 1.5%, now $60.82 a barrel. Cisco, Chris? Hey,
thanks, Jeff. Coming up on today's Noon Business Hour, we'll, of course, get some analysis into today's market dive over trade. Andy Bush is going to join us to talk about that. It's Education Week on the Noon Business Hour today. Best college values. And we'll talk with the president of the University of Illinois System. Also, Stock Picker Monday today. An Investing Pro gives you a couple of tips for your portfolio. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Kiplinger's has advice about which local colleges offer the best values. We're going to cover that in our next segment. Right now, stocks are trading sharply lower after China raised tariffs on some U.S. goods as the ongoing trade war continues with the world's two largest economic intensifies. Joining us, Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Future Trading Commission and a political economist at andrewbush.com here in Chicago. What does this look like to you, Andy?
Well, Chris, this is escalation of an ongoing trade discussion that the U.S. has had with China, and we've been talking about it. I've come on the show many times. And to be honest, this doesn't really surprise me. And I've warned people for a while now that the rubber meets the road on the enforcement part of these trade negotiations. And that's exactly where China backed away from. They backed away from making a commitment to change their laws on things like intellectual property, on joint ventures that you had to transfer as a U.S. company. You had to transfer all of your intellectual property over to the Chinese company that was that you were doing a joint venture with. That's just something that's untenable for most U.S. companies, and it's really technology theft to some extent. And China has a long history of intellectual property theft. This is why it's so important to get a deal that actually has teeth, that can be enforced. Otherwise, we go right back to where we were. And China just has this long history of stealing things when it comes to trade. So we really need to get a strong agreement. And the backing away of China doesn't surprise me.
How does this affect you and me and people?
Yeah, in the Midwest, obviously, here, you know, that's where we all are here. And I think it's all food product, right? It's corn, agriculture, you know, soybeans, pork, anything that the U.S. exports into China, and there's a lot of food products there, are going to be impacted, even beer. So, frozen fruits and vegetables. On the flip side, as far as consumers go, there's about $60 billion worth of goods that are coming into the United States. There's about $250 billion worth of goods that come into the United States that will be getting tariffs as high as 25%. Obviously, that's starting to bite. I would say right now, as far as the cost per household, I've seen estimates that say it's about $500 right now, that it could go up to $800 with these new tariffs that the U.S. puts on.
And is there a sense that maybe there's growing impatience among some of the companies that are dealing with this, and then maybe even their customers, because that cost, the tariff, is getting passed along?
Yeah, and that's the thing, right, Cisco? It's just it's so disruptive for U.S. companies and Chinese companies as well. But because so many U.S. companies have supply chains into China, these additional costs make those almost prohibitive as far as what their profit margins are. If you're in consumer product goods, these are low margin businesses. And you know, when you throw something like 25% tariffs on those costs, it really destroys the profit margin there. So it's super disruptive. Companies are certainly complaining and knocking on the door of the USTR, the United States Trade Representative, Robert Lighthizer. So there's increasing pressure that's going to kick in here, obviously, with the raising of these tariffs. So this is escalating. And the way that I see this play out is that I don't think we're going to get any kind of trade movement on either side for the next month until President Xi of China and President Trump of the United States actually get together in at the WTO meetings later in June. I'm struggling to see why these groups would meet prior to that meeting to actually hammer out an agreement.
And now, is this basically a high-stakes game of chicken? I think at first a lot of people thought it would blow over fairly quickly. Now both sides are digging in, and it seems like neither one is necessarily willing to back down on this.
Yeah, I think it's hard for China to sign off on some of the things that the U.S. has asked for. But on the flip side of that, China is the big cheater here. That's why we have to have a trade agreement that's balanced in favor of the United States. And really, that's going to be balanced in the favor of the entire world, because this is what China does to all the other countries as well. I just think it is a difficult thing. I know President Trump needs to have a win when it comes to trade. This is something that he promised the people that voted for him, that he would go after the Chinese and get something done. But he's going to need to have a foreign policy win, especially on this front, going into the 2020 elections.
Andrew Bush, thanks for joining us today. Andy is former chief markets intelligence officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and political economist at andrewbush.com here in Chicago. Coming up, wonder which colleges offer the best value in the Chicago area. We're going to get some advice from Kiplinger's.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Education Week on the WBBM Noon Business Hour, sponsored by St. Xavier University. College can be prohibitively expensive. It's hard to know which schools offer the best value. Let's get some advice about the local college scene from Mark Wino, Senior Associate Editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine in Washington, D.C., found online at kiplinger.com. Mark, explain for us first, when we say value in a college, what exactly are we talking about?
Well, we're looking for a education that is affordable but offers high-quality academics. And when I say affordable, I mean we're talking about, although the sticker prices are pretty high, we're talking about schools that offer really competitive financial aid packages that help drive that cost down somewhere between half or almost half of 40 to 50% off.
Does job prospects or anything after graduation, does that at all play into considering a college a really good value?
Well, some of them do. And in fact, we have a metric on our college rankings called the salary yardstick, which is through the U.S. Department of Education. And that gives although we don't use it as a weighting mechanism in our rankings, we do provide how students do earn an income 10 years after starting their freshman year in college. And yeah, that does play a factor into it. But really, for the students, it comes down to really just, you know, getting those 4 years in and not having to spend any more than 4 years and getting a quality education without having to, you know, be too much in debt with financial aid.
We have heard recently a lot of stories. I'm sure you're familiar with the parents who were giving lots of money to get their kids in certain schools. This, of course, is not worldwide, but tell us about where we are with this right now.
Well, what's interesting about all this is, as controversial as it is, and as we've heard in the news about how parents are trying to get their students into really good schools, the truth of the matter is that there are a lot of great academic institutions that are both public and private that offer really good value for your dollar, and they're not necessarily the Ivies. You know, a lot of public universities and a lot of private universities, especially in the Chicago and in the Illinois area, offer really great education value for the dollar, but really quality academics. And one of which that we liked that appeared on our top, a lot of our private universities list in the top 20, University of Chicago at number 19 came in last year's rankings because they have just that. They have a very high quality academic curriculum, great program, very competitive admission rate, and a very very strong, intelligent student body based on incoming test scores. And of course, when you talk about value and cost, you know, the total cost, which we reported was more than $73,000. You know, on average cost after need-based aid goes down considerably less than $30,000. And so you're looking at a significant value, and some of these schools, like University of Notre Dame and Northwestern, also offer really good non-need-based aid. So merit aid essentially can get factored into that as well.
Thanks for all the great information. Mark Wino is Senior Associate Editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine in Washington, kiplinger.com. Still ahead, we'll take a check of the markets, and then Education Week continues. We're going to talk about the president of the University of Illinois system about the variety of college experiences that his schools offer.
WBBM News Time 12:25, a check of a really down day on Wall Street from Bloomberg, sponsored by finishingchicago.com. Here's Jeff Bellinger.
And Cisco China defied President Trump's warning to resist escalating the trade war, announcing it's going to hike duties on some American imports June 1st. Dow Jones Industrials are down 694 points, 25,248. The NASDAQ is down 273 points. S&P 500 is down 76. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is down 3% this hour. And now we check in with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities. Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Jeff. Grain markets are mixed as we head into the noon hour. Early selling pressure came from uncertainty of U.S.-Chinese relations and follow-through selling from Friday's bearish USDA report. Expectations are corn 35% planted, beans 15% planted on this afternoon's report, which is way behind the average. Corn futures are up 2 to 3 cents, soybeans down 8 to 9, and the wheat market up 8 to 9 cents. This is Kirk Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
And the sell-off on Wall Street has been a double whammy for Apple. The trade war could hit the iPhone maker especially hard because it is dependent on Chinese parts, factories, and customers. Also today, the Supreme Court has allowed a lawsuit to go forward against Apple, the suit accusing the company of price gouging at the App Store. With business at 25 and 55, from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Jeff Bellinger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are tumbling. We'll see what's moving the markets.
As part of Education Week, we'll take a look at three schools that make up the University of Illinois system.
We'll have a pair of investment ideas. Our Monday stock picker joins us.
Police search for a person of interest after a hit-and-run crash in St. Charles that left a 7-year-old girl critically injured.
Legendary actress Doris Day has died at the age of 97.
Wall Street, the Dow down 702, the NASDAQ off 77, and the NASDAQ off 276.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. We'll have beautiful sunshine in Chicagoland all day long as we head to a high of 56. Right now, 56 O'Hare, 57 Midway, and 56 degrees along Chicago's lakefront.
Well, the markets are down considerably, and that's the big story from Wall Street today. Let's talk about it with Nick Raich. He's the CEO and the Earnings Scout at Cleveland, Ohio website, earningsscout.com. Nick, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Tell us why we're having this drubbing today.
Well, it's no doubt the market is focused on the retaliation from China with regards to trade, and we are finally starting to see some of an impact profit expectations for the second half of the year. So if it's been a trade conflict, and some people have been debating whether it's a war, I think we can definitely call it a trade war now. Even the staunchest bulls would call it that, I believe. And it's impacting profit expectations and what that means for the economy. So investors are just shooting first, asking questions later, worried that it could trigger both countries into a recession.
It seems as if this is happening once a week or once every 2 weeks, and one of them walks off the stage and then comes back, and the other one goes off the stage. What are consumers to think about this?
It's been a game of chicken. It really has. And the reason it has been that, we're saying it's akin to a spitting contest. No one's going to win a spitting contest. Both China and the U.S. need each other through trade. So it's going to be who blinks first. And the reality, you know, how it's going to impact both countries. You can see what it's doing to the U.S. markets today. Chinese markets were ripping earlier this year. They really did poorly in 2018. But at one point, the Shanghai Composite was up over 30% in 2019. It's fallen 11% just in the last 3 or 4 weeks. So no one's going to win a spitting contest. No one's going to win a trade war between China and the U.S. So the cooler heads will eventually prevail, but in the meantime, like I said, the markets are shooting first, asking questions later.
Is there a way to win as an investor as we see the markets falling here, having a rough few days? If you happen to have some cash on the side, is it time to start looking at maybe someplace to put it in?
Yeah, we definitely. We've been with defensive sectors, but companies that are going to have solid earnings and good, strong businesses that aren't in the crosshairs of the tariffs. If you're in the crosshairs of the tariffs, certain industries, you know, you're going to really feel the pain. But for most companies, they won't. And this is more political than it is economic. It's becoming economic as the numbers have escalated here. Though we said last year that it was really moot for the overall economy, now we're starting to get some numbers when we talk about the trade and being imposed going from 10% to 25% on Chinese goods now in the U.S. This is becoming a material amount. So if you do invest for the long haul, because both countries' cooler heads are going to eventually prevail, you could be getting at some lower prices here for sure. But we'd wait till the dust settles and wait for at least some kind of clarity. But to think that both countries are going to go with a full-blown trade war makes little sense because it hurts both, and you can see it reflected in both markets today in the U.S. and
I'm looking at Uber week. Today. Uber down nearly 12%. I'm thinking, boy, they picked a great time to go public, didn't they?
Very.
Timing is everything.
Sometimes the timing of luck, it could be on your side or against you, and very poor timing for luck in terms of the trade announcements.
Now, let's talk about Apple here. That stock is down 6% today. Obviously, some of that is the tariffs and this trade war. But also, the Supreme Court says a pretty big lawsuit can go forward against Apple.
Right. And it's what Apple wanted was the developers for the App Store that make the developments, the apps on the App Store, exclusive to the App Store. Apple charges them a 30% commission. So if you develop an app on the iTunes Store, and you get it, you get 70%. Apple takes 30% cut. But it was only on the Apple iTunes to be able to get that and through the App Store to get that app. So Apple was pressuring those developers to raise their prices. And you couldn't go to an Android or to Google Play or anywhere else to get that app. So that was a monopoly on that. And what the Supreme Court ruled today was that the consumers, the end users, can go after Apple for unfair monopoly practices. Apple didn't want that. They said, hey, just the developers should be able to go after us, not the end user. The Supreme Court said the end user, John Q. Public, can go after you too. So it is a hit for Apple. You combine that, a double whammy with the trade with China, because their business is so impacted by China, and so many other U.S. businesses are, and that's a blow for Apple today.
Nick, thanks so much for joining us. Nick Raish is CEO of the Earnings Scout in Cleveland, and the website is earningsscout.com. Up next, Education Week continues, a visit by the president of the University of Illinois System.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Education Week on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. The University of Illinois System consists of three universities, Chicago, Springfield, and Urbana-Champaign, each offering a different educational experience for students. Joining us to talk about it now, Tim Colleen, president of the University of Illinois System. Tim, thanks for being on the show. And that sort of diversity within each of the schools, that's where I'd like to start. Talk about maybe some of the challenges, but also the opportunities of having schools in such diverse locations, Chicago, Springfield, and Urbana-Champaign.
Well, thanks, Cisco. Good afternoon. Yeah, we have three wonderful, very distinctive universities. We call them universities rather than campuses these days. And, of course, we got the major AAU. We like the Big Ten school in Urbana-Champaign that goes back 150 years. And it's got the big campus setting and all of the, you know, fully comprehensive educational offerings, a lot of residential opportunities for incoming students, and a, you know, tremendous research enterprise that includes a lot of interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary research and partnerships literally around the world. And then we've got the big urban campus, major research campus in close to downtown Chicago. It's over 32,000 students now and growing rapidly, very diverse, tremendous medical school, lots of clinics. We have 700,000 patient visits a year, for example, in our hospitals and clinics there, and pioneering research in areas of drug discovery and so forth. We're very proud of that. And then we have the much smaller four-year school in Springfield, which is more of a liberal arts campus, but with tremendous expertise in public policy and journalism, in fact, and other issues there. It gives a more intimate setting on a beautiful campus in next to Springfield, the state capital. So we have something to offer every prospective student.
And when we just had a segment which we were talking about value, and the Urbana-Champaign campus is certainly on that list, is that something, as parents are looking around, they think of location, they think of offerings as far as the programs, but obviously the cost of the education is something they're weighing as well.
Yeah, we look carefully at the cost, and in fact we're very proud that we announced just recently the fifth year of an in-state tuition freeze on all of our three campuses. That means no increase in tuition for 5 years, and that's the longest tuition freeze for half a century. So we're committed to affordability. The cost component is very important for families, three kids of my own. I know that personally. And so we've worked hard to keep our costs down and our fees down. And we're happy with that, and that'll be a continuing commitment into the future. We don't want to see any deserving student excluded from a world-class educational opportunity on grounds of cost. We've also, to help with that, increased our own financial aid to over $230 million now per year from the institution, which is actually bigger than the combined total of state and federal financial aid. So we're working hard on the financial aid piece. We're working hard on keeping our tuition costs down and recognizing that that's an incredibly important piece of the puzzle for families and for students.
Tim, excuse me, Tim. Maybe you can give us a glimpse of the next generation. What the kids are studying? What areas are they attracted to these days?
Oh, we're seeing wonderful, impetus to change the world, frankly, in all sorts of areas. We have educational offerings that range all the way from arts and humanities and music and social sciences all the way to the cutting edge of computer science and software engineering and so forth. We are seeing demand go up in certain areas where there's clearly opportunities emerging, I would say, in healthcare services and in computer science in particular, and in engineering. We're seeing a lot of demand for those kind of opportunities, but we're seeing strong, stable interest in all of the other offerings as well. We expect our incoming students to know a lot about what they'd like to work on, but we give them the flexibility to change their minds if and when they want to do so. So we like to have them explore intellectually.
Good stuff. Tim Colleen, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. Tim Colleen is the president of the University of Illinois System with campuses here in Chicago, also Springfield and Urbana-Champaign. Joining us on Education Week. This time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday. Still to come, a visit with our Monday stock picker.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour. Joining us with a pair of investment ideas, Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial here in Chicago. Welcome to the Noon Business Hour, Jeff. What's your first choice?
Well, Chris, a pretty tough day in the market. Certainly, we're seeing the trade war escalate. But two stocks I like today, one being Workday, WDAY. This is the software sector, Chris. And it's up about 30% year to date. And remember, that software sector, that is the leading sector in this technology, that broader sector. But if you look at Workday, down about 4% on the day, it has had a sensational move higher. And if you look at earnings, sales growth, profit margin, this is a company you want to own for the longer term.
Workday is the first pick. What's your second pick?
United Healthcare, kind of a thrown out sector. We have seen healthcare really get beaten up in 2018 as well as 2019. But ticker symbol UNH for United Healthcare. We see that as one of our essential 40 names. It's down about 3% year to date, so it's lagging the broader sector in healthcare. But we really like this. We just saw Credit Suisse, although they cut their price target lower to 293, they were at 310. This is still substantially higher as it's trading around $238 right now, Cisco.
Those are both very, very interesting picks. Yeah, Workday. Thank you so much, Jeff. Workday, WDAY, and United Health Group, UNH. Jeff Kilberg joining us, CEO of KKM Financial here in Chicago. He's a returning Monday stock picker. We'll get a look at the markets from Bloomberg as they continue to fall significantly. WBBM News Time 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Jeff Bellinger.
And Cisco Dow Jones Industrials are down 625 points, 25,317. The NASDAQ is down 250. S&P 500 is down 69. We note that Verizon Communications is the only component of the Dow Jones Industrials that is higher, and it is up 0.02%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is down 3%. With business at 25 and 55 from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Jeff Bellinger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.